All right, let's dive in. This time we're tackling the Old Testament, and wow, you guys sent us a ton of material.
Yeah.
Some serious scholarship going on here.
Absolutely. It's amazing how much there is to dig into and how relevant it still is.
It's not just for, like, you know, dusty libraries and stuff. This stuff really matters.
Oh, absolutely. It shapes how we understand the Bible today, even if we don't realize it.
Okay, so speaking of shaping how we understand stuff, two names we can't ignore, Wellhausen and Gunkel.
Two giants in the field.
Big names. Yeah. And controversial. They really shook things up. Let's start with Wellhausen, his documentary hypothesis. This is like, whoa, discovering a secret code in the Bible.
It's a game changer for sure. Wellhausen basically said, hey, those first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, not written by one person.
Whoa.
Like everyone thought.
Yeah, that's what I always, you know, learned growing up.
Right, the traditional view. But Wellhausen said, nope, it's a compilation. Different sources, different times, different voices.
So, like, imagine different scribes, right? From different times, adding to the story, like layers.
Exactly, like those medieval manuscripts where you see different handwriting. Mm. Wellhausen identified four main sources.
Okay.
J, E, D, and P.
All right, let's break those down.
So J, the J source, uses Jehovah for God, and it's very personal.
Yeah.
You feel the relationship between God and humanity very strongly.
It's almost like you're right there with them.
Right, you're eavesdropping on the conversation. Then you have E, which uses Elohim.
Okay.
And it focuses more on morals,
yeah,
ethics, the prophets.
Yeah.
It's a bit more formal, you could say.
Got it. So two very different vibes already.
Exactly. Then comes D, which is all about the law, the covenant. You know, think like a king making a big proclamation.
Very dramatic.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And finally, P, the P source, is very into rituals, the priesthood, keeping things organized, almost like an instruction manual for, like, how to run a religious society.
Fascinating. So all these voices woven together.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah. But here's the really mind-blowing part. Wellhausen said, this idea of one all-powerful God, as we understand it now, that might not have been there in the very earliest texts.
That's right. He challenged the traditional timeline of religious thought.
Whoa.
He said monotheism didn't just appear overnight. It was a process, an evolution.
So, like, those stories of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, were they shaped by later beliefs?
It's possible. Wellhausen's theory suggests that later ideas got projected back onto earlier periods.
I see.
So, like, the covenant with God, maybe that came later, but got woven into the story of Abraham.
It's like those historical novels where the author can't help but put their own modern spin on things, you know?
Man.
Like, you can almost picture Wellhausen squinting at these texts, trying to untangle the threads, right?
He was a true scholar. And, you know, what's interesting is that Wellhausen himself struggled with what he found.
Really?
Yeah. It shook him up so much that he actually resigned from his theology professorship. He felt like his conclusions were too controversial for training ministers.
That's serious. He must have really believed in what he'd uncovered.
Absolutely. And his documentary hypothesis really opened up a new way of reading the Bible.
Like a whole new perspective. But it wasn't just about the sources, right?
Right.
He also made us rethink the whole history of Israel and how their beliefs evolved.
Exactly. He challenged the traditional timeline and said, let's reconsider how these ideas developed over time.
So the Bible's not just a snapshot. It's like a long exposure photograph, you know?
Yeah.
Capturing all these changes over centuries.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Wellhausen really pushed things forward. But that's only half the story. Now we've got Gunkel entering the scene.
All right, bring on Gunkel. What did he bring to the table?
Well, he takes what Wellhausen started and goes in a different direction. He's less interested in who wrote what and more interested in the why behind the stories.
Okay.
It's like, imagine archaeologists, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're carefully digging up a city, layer by layer, trying to understand the people who live there.
Yeah.
Gunkel's form criticism is like that, but for stories.
Digging through layers of time.
Exactly. He was trying to get behind the written words and uncover the oral traditions, the context, the purpose.
So, like, those epic poems that were passed down for generations before being written down.
Precisely. Each telling would be influenced by the storyteller, the audience, the reason for telling it.
Right. And he even had a name for this, right? Sitzenleben.
Yes. It means situation in life. He believed you couldn't truly understand a story without understanding the context it came from.
The social setting, the purpose.
Exactly. And he also recognized that just like we have different kinds of writing today, novels, poems, news articles, ancient people had different kinds of stories too.
So like genres.
Exactly. He used the term Gattung for that. And he said each genre had its own rules, its own way of conveying meaning.
Fascinating. So, like, he would say that the stories of Abraham and Isaac, those are what? Legends.
Yeah, he saw many of the Genesis stories as legends. Stories about people and their actions, often highlighting heroic deeds or important events.
But legend makes it sound like they're not true.
I know. And that's where things get a little tricky.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't saying they were meaningless or made up.
Okay.
He even compared them to Aesop's fables. Not literally true, but full of meaning and insight.
Hmm. Interesting. So for Gunkel, historical accuracy wasn't the point.
Not necessarily. He believed these stories could reveal profound truths, even if they weren't factual accounts.
So they're about exploring human experience, our relationship with God, things like that.
Exactly. It's like saying a painting doesn't have to be a photograph to be a masterpiece.
I see.
It can still move you, make you think, teach you something.
And that's how Gunkel saw those ancient stories.
He saw their artistry, their emotional depth. They spoke to something universal, something beyond time and place.
So he's saying, don't just read the Bible with your head, read it with your heart, too.
Exactly. He wanted us to experience the stories, feel their power, and let them shape our understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
Wow. So we've got Wellhausen taking the Bible apart and Gunkel digging into its heart.
Both of them pushing the boundaries of biblical scholarship.
And both pretty radical for their time.
They really were. And their work is still shaping how we understand the Bible today, making us ask deeper questions about what it means, who wrote it, and what truth really is.
It's like they gave us a key to unlock a whole new dimension of this ancient text, full of hidden treasures just waiting to be discovered.
There's so much more to uncover as we delve further into Gunkel's ideas about myth, legend, and storytelling.
All right, so let's keep digging.
It's amazing how these stories, you know, from thousands of years ago, they still speak to us today.
I know, right? Like, we're all about origin stories now.
Mm.
Think about superhero movies.
Oh, yeah.
They're obsessed with how the hero became who they are.
Right. Like, we're hardwired for these kinds of stories.
Totally. And I bet Gunkel would have a field day with that.
He would. You know, he was fascinated by origin stories in the Bible, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said a lot of those narratives, especially in Genesis, weren't meant to be taken literally.
Okay.
But as explanations for why things are the way they are. He called them etiological legends.
Etiological legends. So, like, how the leopard got its spots.
Exactly. Those just-so stories. They might not be scientifically accurate, but they still teach us something.
And they're fun. Like, remember that story about Manhattan?
Oh, yeah.
The man hat on? Like, some guy got tricked into buying the whole island for a handful of beads.
Right. Totally made up, but it's a good story.
It sticks with you. And Gunkel saw some of the biblical name origins like that, too. Like, Jacob wrestling with the angel and becoming Israel.
Yeah. It explains the name and hints at the struggles of the nation.
So it's like those origin stories in superhero comics.
Exactly.
They tell you something important about the character, even if they're not, like, historically accurate.
Right. Gunkel believed those stories, even if not literally true, still revealed a lot about the people who told them.
Their beliefs, their values.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's about reading between the lines, right? Looking for the deeper meaning.
Exactly. Like when you're watching a movie and you pick up on the symbolism.
Oh, yeah.
Gunkel gave us tools to do that with the Bible. Look for the clues, the genre, the themes.
Okay, so let's get specific. What's a good example of this from all that material you've been going through?
Well, one that comes to mind is Lot's wife turning into a pillar of salt.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic. She looks back, even though God said not to.
Exactly.
And boom, pillar of salt.
And for Gunkel, this wasn't just a random punishment.
Mm.
He saw it as a geological legend.
A geological legend.
Yeah, it explains a feature of the landscape. A literal pillar of salt.
So it's like those local legends you hear when you're traveling.
Right. This rock formation.
Yeah.
That's because a giant turned to stone.
Or this house is haunted because...
Exactly. And Gunkel felt that for the ancient Israelites, these stories did more than just explain.
Mm.
They taught moral lessons, reinforced their beliefs, gave them a sense of order.
It's like they use stories to make sense of the world.
Exactly. And maybe we still do that today.
Yeah, we tell stories to explain things, to cope with our fears, to find meaning.
Right. Maybe that's why these ancient stories still resonate with us.
They tap into something universal.
Exactly. And Gunkel helps us appreciate that.
To see them as more than just history, but as complex, meaningful works of art.
Full of symbolism, metaphor, deeper truths.
Okay, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
Even if we appreciate all that, doesn't it raise some tough questions?
Oh, absolutely.
If the Bible is full of legends and myths, what does that mean for its authority?
Right. That's a big one.
It feels like a bit of a minefield.
It can be, but it's a conversation worth having.
So how did Gunkel deal with that? Did he think recognizing these legends made the Bible less important?
That's a great question, and it gets to the heart of his approach. He actually thought the opposite.
Really?
Yeah, he felt that focusing only on historical facts could actually blind us to the deeper meaning.
So it's like someone getting so caught up in analyzing a painting, they miss the beauty of it.
Exactly. Yeah. He was saying, engage your heart, not just your head.
Feel the story. Don't just analyze it.
Exactly. Experience the emotions, the dilemmas, the questions it raises.
So we need to go beyond a literal reading of the text.
Right. See it as an expression of faith wrestling with big questions about humanity and God.
Almost like we're being invited to become archaeologists of the soul.
You know? I love that. Digging through layers of meaning to find those timeless truths.
Okay, so we've got Wellhausen breaking things down, Gunkel digging deeper.
Both pushing boundaries.
But there's more to this story, right? There are other scholars who built on their work.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole world of fascinating biblical scholarship out there.
It's funny. We've been talking about all this, you know, ancient stuff, scholarly theories.
Yeah.
But it really comes back to something so simple, the power of a good story.
It really does. Stories, they grab us, they stay with us.
They do. And I remember that quote from Gunkel about the story of Abraham and Isaac, you know, the sacrifice. He said something like, it's not about the historical facts. It's about the father's grief, his relief when he doesn't have to do it.
Powerful stuff. He was saying, don't get lost in trying to prove or disprove the story. Feel it.
Yeah. Feel it. Don't just analyze it to death.
Exactly. Experience those emotions, those dilemmas, the questions about faith, about what you do in that situation.
It makes me think, you know, we try to put the Bible in these neat little boxes, history, law, poetry, but maybe it's more like a kaleidoscope, all these things blending together, you know?
I love that. It really captures the richness, the different layers of the Bible.
And I think Gunkel would like that too. He saw these stories as like woven together, myth, legend, history.
All part of a bigger tapestry.
Right. Okay, but this whole idea of myth and legend being in the Bible.
Yeah.
I gotta admit, it's a little, I don't know, unsettling maybe.
It can be. It challenges how a lot of us were taught to think about it.
It does. Like, is it okay to question these things?
I think so. I think questioning, wrestling with these ideas, it can actually make your faith stronger.
It's like that saying, the unexamined life is not worth living.
Exactly. Maybe the unexamined faith isn't worth holding on to either.
So these scholarly approaches, like Wellhausen, Gunkel, they're not about tearing the Bible down. Yeah. It's about engaging with it more deeply.
Absolutely. Recognizing the complexity, the richness, approaching it with humility, curiosity.
And it's not just them. There are so many others who have added to this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Like Gerhard von Rad, he built on Gunkel's work and talked about seeing the Old Testament as a whole.
Von Rad, yes. He saw it as this grand epic, this story unfolding over centuries.
It's a movie series, right?
Exactly. Each one stands alone, but they all contribute to a bigger story.
And he helped us see how all these stories, even the ones that seem random, they're all connected.
Right. They all fit into this narrative of God and humanity.
And then there's Walter Brueggemann. He really brought the prophets to life.
Oh, yeah. Brueggemann. He focused on those prophets who challenged the system, who spoke truth to power.
And they're not just speaking to people back then. They're still relevant today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Their words still resonate, still challenge us.
So we've got Wellhausen, Gunkel, von Rad, Brueggemann, all these different perspectives.
All adding to our understanding.
It's amazing how they all contribute to a richer, deeper way of reading the Bible.
It really is. And it shows that biblical scholarship, it's not static. It's a conversation, always evolving.
It's like exploring a vast forest.
Hmm.
Always new paths to discover, new things to see.
And that's what makes it so exciting. There's always more to learn, more to appreciate.
Well, I think we've covered a lot today.
I have.
Complex ideas, challenging views, hopefully some new insights.
I hope so too. And I'd encourage everyone listening, don't stop here.
Yeah.
Keep exploring, keep questioning, keep that curiosity alive.
This is just the beginning. There's a whole world of scholarship out there.
So much to discover.
Keep reading, keep learning, keep those brains buzzing.
And keep an open heart and open mind.
You never know what you might find as you delve deeper.
There are treasures in those stories.
Well, that wraps up our deep dive into the Old Testament.
A fascinating journey.
We hope you enjoyed it. Until next time, keep those brains buzzing and those hearts open.
To the wonders of the ancient world.
See you next time.